Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Your toddler has a fever that does not seem to break. You are a senior who needs a prescription renewal to treat a chronic condition. Your cold is getting worse, not better. For some in Northumberland, it is a call to your physician or, in the lingo of the healthcare sector, primary caregiver. But for those without a doctor, it is a real problem. Where do you go? The maze of services can be confusing. Do you use a virtual visit via a local pharmacy or grocery store? What about a walk-in clinic? Then there is the emergency room in Campbellford or Coburg. If you go online, you can't even find a single list of options for the county. Browse through social media on any given day, and there is at least one person appealing for advice to find help nearby. There are no simple answers. It is one of the complex questions the Ontario Health Team Northumberland is trying to resolve. Today's show is entirely dedicated to figuring out a path through this maze. You are going to hear from three key people tackling the crisis: Susan Walsh, CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital; Taryn Rennick, Executive Director for Community Health Centres Northumberland; and Andrea Groff, Executive Lead for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland, will be talking to me. There are an estimated 8,000 people living in Northumberland who do not have a doctor or a nurse practitioner. Within the next 2 years, the number is expected to rise to 25,000. The first part of this in-depth interview looks at the role of walk-in clinics and telemedicine. Port Hope's walk-in clinic recently reopened. A new walk-in clinic is opening shortly in Coburg. Plus, another telemedicine service is opening in a pharmacy in Port Hope. It is joining several others in Grafton, Coburg, Brighton, and Campbellford. Listen carefully to decide if what is being done is enough to address the need for access to care within Northumberland. I'm so pleased to have with me today Taryn Rennick, the Executive Director of the County Health Centres of Northumberland; Andrea Goff, the Executive Lead for the Ontario Health Team Northumberland; and Susan Walsh, the CEO of Northumberland Hills Hospital. Welcome to you all to Consider This Northumberland.
Great to be here, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
I want to talk about the recent addition of a number of walk-in clinics and telemedicine operations in Northumberland County. There's been a lot going on recently. And I want to start with you, Andrea, because you have talked many times publicly and on this show about the demand for services for unrostered patients. Would you mind giving us that background before we dig into this topic?
I'd be happy to, because access to primary care is a very important priority for our Ontario Health Team in Northumberland, also for Ontario Health, also for the ministry. A lot has been focused on the importance of providing access to primary care and primary care teams and primary care services. You know, there's a lot of work that we're doing as an OHT to help improve access to primary care from some of our priority projects from the early days, like the Rural Outreach Clinic, where we have a clinic in Cramie Township that provides primary care to unattached patients. So we use the term unattached, which means they're not connected to a family provider. And family provider could be a physician or could be nurse practitioner. So we have that rural outreach clinic in Cramie, and then we also have a volunteer peer support program that supports those in the community with some social service needs. And we also have the community paramedicine program, which is one of our early projects that continues to this day. And it's a really successful project. I think right now there's 1,100 clients within that community paramedicine program. Some of the pieces are there's some remote care monitoring. So a patient can be at home attached to some devices, check their blood sugar, check their blood pressure, and those readings go directly to the community paramedicine team. And if there's an alert, they can go out immediately and check on that person. Really amazing ways to supplement our system when we know there's a shortage of primary care providers. We're also focusing a lot on how we bring the county together with all of our resources to support physician recruitment. And there's some really exciting work going on.
Before we get too far into it, Suzanne, I wanted to ask you, can you frame for us, though, put this into context, this demand for services?
Sure. I think what Andrea was describing was the demand that we know is critical to the system in terms of having patients attached to a primary care provider. I'm just going to go back to your original question. So, in terms of what we're seeing in terms of an emergence of, for example, the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic and a new provider that's emerging in Coburg, we're not actually as an OHT directly involved in those clinics. I understand the walk-in clinic is currently a pilot for a year being supported by Northumberland County, and that the actual clinic that's opening in Coburg is a private venture. But at the end of the day, there are additional options for individuals around care. From the hospital's perspective, we are essentially the safety net. So, depending on the hours of availability of access to primary care, if there isn't access, then we are often the safety net. So we look at our, when I think about our eMERGE volumes over year, they've increased by 6% last year alone. And we know that that demand will increase when we see the population increases within the community. So I think that it's important to highlight that there's a number of different options for individuals in terms of accessing primary care, including the things that the opportunities that Andrea had identified through the walk-in clinic, through the rural outreach clinic, sorry, in Colborne, the family health team, other sources of primary care. But it's not enough, and that's what we know is the issue.
Well, and I was hoping that we would get to that because, Andrea, if I'm wrong, you talked about currently we have about 4,000 to 5,000 people that don't have primary care. And you also talk about an increase over the next number of years. Can you just go over those figures again, just so we get the clear picture?
I'd be happy to. It's tough to get a really accurate estimate on how many people are not connected to primary care. When you look at our numbers through Healthcare Connect, so that's when, and we would encourage people to do that, when people register through Healthcare Connect that they're in a region and they need access to a primary care provider. When we look at that list, it's probably like 1,300 people that we see. But by our other ways of doing calculations, we're probably over 8,000 in Northumberland County that don't have currently access to primary care. Probably like one in five don't have access to primary care.
Rob, would you mind terribly if I chime in here? Because the
No,
community
I
health
was just
centers.
about to bring you in, as a matter of fact, because I would like to have you give us a picture as well, because you're seeing it from a very different perspective. You're on the ground, you're providing a series of services. What is happening on the ground, what you're seeing, and how your organization is responding to that?
Absolutely, would love to. So from an OHT perspective, you have four primary care organizations in the OHT of Northumberland. Three of them are family health teams, and we are the community health center. All of those primary care models are very important. Family health team models and CHC models are slightly different. Physicians in the community health center model are salaried. They are not billing OHIP. So that's one key difference. In the community health center model as well, similar to family health teams, there is an interdisciplinary group of services surrounding primary care so that your physicians and nurse practitioners are able to refer directly to programs such as diabetes education, mental health and addictions counseling. We have a low-income dental program. We have health promotion activities, geriatric outreach and intervention. So there's a suite of services. They are not necessarily only tied to the community health center primary care clients. So they are available to other members of the community. And looping back to your question about the walk-in clinics, if I may, So we have the two current walk-in clinics. One in Port Hope was municipally driven and supported by Ontario Health Team of Northumberland partner organizations. It's primarily Northumberland County led, and the CHC has stepped in to provide some support from because we have the primary care expertise, but also because we're co-located. And as Susan mentioned earlier, the new walk-in that we'll be opening soon in Coburg is a private venture. So we're very much hands-off. But we recognize that in the absence of comprehensive primary care for all Northumberland residents, that a walk-in clinic is, I hesitate to use the term, but the first thing that comes to mind is sort of a stopgap. It is providing access to those who don't have a primary care provider. And the communications around the Port Hope walk-in have very much focused on that fact that the priority population are those that do not have primary care.
I want to go back just for a moment to something that Susan said, which sounded like she said the Ontario Health Team Northumberland is not involved in walk-in clinics. I was wondering, Susan, could you just elaborate what then is the role or the relationship between walk-in clinics, telemedicine, the Ontario Health Team Northumberland?
Specifically, Rob, what I was referring to is the fact that the Ontario Health Team is not directly involved in the walk-in clinic and the private walk-in clinic that's in Coburg. However, our mandate is really to create a countywide collaboration of patients, caregivers, and providers. So even though we may not be directly involved, by virtue of the reason that we exist, we would want to partner with any agency that is providing primary care because the important thing is connecting that care to the bigger system. And we are the connectors to the bigger system by virtue of the partners that we have involved. So that was probably a greater clarification of what I was saying.
So when Taryn's talking about the services that she provides and the partnership that she has with the Port Hope Walk-in Clinic, that's the kind of thing that you just described. Am I understanding that correctly?
So I think
Very.
that there's individual, sorry, Taryn. There's individual, so if you think about the 20 partners that make up the original Ontario Health Team, we all have our individual mandates that we do by virtue of our existence, but we collaborate with each other. So it's a differentiation. The Community Health Centres of Northumberland may be collaborating with the county on that walk-in clinic, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the OHT. Irrespective, it doesn't matter. We want to make sure that we are aware of the services so that we can communicate. And a good example of that was the pandemic. When the OHTs came into existence, we started out with the three main projects that Andrea had spoke to. But then the pandemic hit, and that was a great example of how all the partners came together from a pandemic response collaboratively. And so this is the type of thing that we continue to work on now.
Now I'm confused. And I'm wondering if the
I'm
listeners
sorry.
are. No, it's not you. It's just me. I'm confused only because one of the things that seemed to be a priority was looking after people who don't have a doctor. And we're trying it, and you even said the words yourself, a stopgap measure. And we're trying to connect all these things. And we're going to talk in a little bit about recruitment and other things that are going on. But with these walk-in clinics opening, these are opportunities that people who are do not have a primary care physician, it's something that they can go and they can use in between. The same with the telemedicine. So what I'm trying to get my head around is that every time I seem to want to see these things meshing together under the umbrella of this organization that's supposed to promote collaboration and cooperation, and yet when we talk about walk-in clinics, suddenly I feel like your organization is backing up a little. So can somebody explain to me why aren't the gears meshing? Why aren't you guys behind these things? Why aren't you encouraging them?
I don't mind starting if everyone's okay with
Please.
that. I think, Rob, and you saying that you're confused actually raises a really good point because Susan, Andrea, and I work in the healthcare system, right? So this speaks very much to the complications of navigating. It is a complex system and it's not getting simpler fast. So, you saying that is it really speaks to what your listeners are probably dealing with, right?
I don't understand the system. I don't understand how to navigate the system. And that is a huge priority for the Ontario Health Team of Northumberland and all of the other 50 plus OHTs in the province. So to your point, I wouldn't use the term that we're not behind these initiatives. However, we have other initiatives. And as you mentioned, we're going to talk about physician recruitment, for example, to the county. However, when other entities choose to lead a project, we aren't necessarily in a position to insert ourselves into that project automatically for various reasons. We can make attempts to do that, or maybe we don't have the resources to do that, or we have a different urgent focus. So I would say that it's not that we're not behind these initiatives. We definitely are behind any initiative that provides better health care and supports to the residents of Northumberland County. But what we do want to do is make sure that we are well versed and well aware of what some of these services are, so that we can communicate it out and also navigate to those services for the constituents of Northumberland.
Two things I'd like to follow up then.
Yep.
Is why aren't you leading this? Why aren't you the group that's going out and saying, we need 4 walk-in clinics, we need one here, we need one there, this is what we should be doing, and being proactive, whereas what you've sounded like you just said to me is you're responding to what's going on in the environment. Did I misunderstand?
We're proactive in a lot of ways, which you will continue to hear about. I will say that. There's many things we are proactive. From a primary care perspective, while a walk-in clinic is helpful, there is a lack of continuity of care. What we really want to see in primary care is folks getting attached permanently to a primary care provider, whether it be in a CHC model or a family health team model. And I would like to back up a little and make sure that you're aware of the fact that family health teams have some team-based care as well. So diabetes education and counseling. I don't want my earlier comments to sound like they are lacking in that way. But our focus is to ensure that people end up with permanent primary care. So that is really our goal. We can support these other initiatives. We are spending our energy on comprehensive physician recruitment to the area, which Susan would be very good to speak to.
Before we get off on that tangent, I would just like to come back to Andrea and say, when I was researching for this interview, I really had a hard time finding a list of places I could go, a walk-in clinic, telemedicine, if I didn't want to go to the emergency. There's no list. Now, did I miss something?
To what Taryn was talking about, and to your point too, Rob, the system is so difficult to navigate, to find our way through. And for us, we're all, you know, kind of masters of navigating that system. And when we have family members in need of care, we struggle as well. So one of the things we're working on that should be rolling out in the next few months, I'm really excited about, is a system navigation website. So it is kind of what you're talking about, Rob, so that the people of Northumberland, our community members in Northumberland, our providers, our clinicians in Northumberland can look at this website and see a database based on our whole geography and a little outside of it of all the social services, healthcare services, everything all listed there. And even behind the scenes in that, this is such a cool new application that's coming through. Behind the scenes in that is a referral system, an electronic referral system. So if you're looking for a service that has direct referral from the public to that service, I could put in my referral information and it goes directly to that place. Really exciting. We're really proud that this is coming down the line soon.
When you talk about a referral, could you give us an example just to illustrate that?
A referral like, you know, I'm a community member and I want to access maybe Community Care's Meals on Wheels program. And perhaps they have a self-referral application so I can go just search up Meals on Wheels. Great news. There it is. I click on that link and it within that system can send a direct referral.
Susan, can you explain then how these things like the walk-in clinics that are opening up and offer opportunities, the family health teams that offer additional services, and the telemedicine, how do they interrelate so that it helps you do a better job of doing what is most important in an emergency room?
It's all about access. So when someone comes to an emergency room and is seeking care, and maybe they don't have a family doctor, they need an immediate access to care. And it may be, we ask the question, do you have a family doctor? And in many cases, people do, but there are cases when people don't. If somebody has a family doctor and they are treated within an emergency department, that information is fed back to the family doctor so that there's continuity of care. That individual that comes will that their doctor will get information about their visit to the emergency room, why they came to the emergency, what was done in the emergency room, and therefore the family doctor can now pick that up and continue that conversation with the patient and client. When you don't have a family doctor, that becomes a void in terms of where you access, where you refer that individual back to. And that's the issue sometimes with walk-in clinics is that if someone goes to a walk-in clinic, again, who do you connect back for long-term follow-up? So what we're trying to do is create more of a longitudinal approach to care as opposed to episodic. There are times when episodic is needed, and that's why walk-in clinics are very popular because people want the issue solved now. But if it's a longitudinal plan, that is not the solution. So we want to be able to look forward to think about what is the long-term solution. And so some of the programs, such as community paramedicine, provide opportunities to connect individuals to individuals who can provide that care on a more longitudinal basis. And that's where telemedicine or the community paramedic program does so many things in terms of supporting individuals. So I think it's trying to help people understand that we understand your need for access in the moment, but this is not just about a single episode. This is about your lifespan and what how do we connect you to the services. And so our goal as an OHT is even if we're not initiating the program, let's at least know about it so that we can navigate individuals to it and connect them like a safety net. And it's still emerging. We haven't got it. Obviously, it's not there yet. And this is going to be something that takes time. But the collaboration amongst the partners, the addition of new partners, you know, Alderville has re-engaged with the OHT, which is now initiating a whole conversation and supportive services. So we're starting to see traction. I know Andrea is leading and supporting the primary care physician network, which is a really important tool for getting input from physicians. I could go on, but those are just a few things.
I'd like to come back though for a moment because you make a really seminal point when you say about people wanting care right away. And of course, one of the things that people turn to walk-in clinics and telemedicine is because they don't want to go to emergency room either in Campbellford or in Coburg. And they think, you know, I'll get it. It'll be faster if I could just, you know, take my child who's got a tummy ache rather than having to go and be dropped way down while there's other higher urgent care needs. How then can we support that kind of care? Because I know, Taryn, you offer some care on that basis, you know, just walk in simple stuff that your doctors deal with as well. Maybe I'll throw it to you and then maybe I'll come back to Suzanne about in a moment.
So we do have some urgent care available, but it is only for registered clients, rostered clients of the community health center, if it's from a primary care perspective. If there are other urgent issues, so diabetes related issues, dental related issues, I mean, it depends really what folks are in need of. Lots of people with diabetes will have urgent issues related to medication renewals, medication challenges, reactions, that sort of thing, foot care issues, you know, getting an ulcer on their foot. So that's where we can do the quick visit in specialized areas. For our primary care patients, however, and as is the FIT model and FOS, family health organizations and family health teams, they all in their clinics do offer urgent care appointments. And that is some of the communication we're trying to make sure that community members are aware of is, you know, you may call and ask for an appointment and get put out for a couple of weeks because that's when your provider is booking. There are mechanisms when there are urgent needs, but there's a triage process. There's a triage process behind that, and it's based on individual offices' ability to triage folks into urgent appointments.
Susan, I'll come back to you now, and maybe you can help us understand then this need for people to find care when it's not a high priority, but they want to be able to access it quickly and not have to wait in an emerge room in one of the hospitals?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think that if I had the answer to that question, that I maybe, you know, and anyway, I'll leave it at that. It is a really big, it's a big question, Rob, and I think it's not an easy question because it's not a single strategy to solving that issue. And I think one of the areas that is an opportunity is through, if you can't be connected as organizations, how do you get connected through digitization? How do you get connected through technology so that at least we can create that network? And so it is not going to be a one size fits all. I think that we will continue to support access to primary care. I think there's just a shortage of primary care. And when I say that, I'm talking about both nurse practitioners, because right now nurse practitioners cannot bill OHIP. So anytime that you introduce a nurse practitioner model into an organization, it is coming out of that organization's budget, which they've not been provided a budget for. So when I think about the system, there's a lot of system issues that are beyond sort of the walls that we can touch as an OHT. When I think about funding models for primary care physicians and what that model is, those are system issues in Ontario, which is why Ontario is putting in a lot of effort to try to solve this issue. But when there's a shortage of physicians or primary care providers, there's going to be a point when many solutions will not fix that issue. And so that's why I think the you know, it has to be both an upstream approach and a downstream approach. And the upstream approach is physician recruitment and bringing more individuals into the community, which is work that there's the OHT has been working on specifically. And I can talk more about that when you're ready.
One last question then around this, and that is the concerns that get raised with doctors unrostering patients who use some of these services. I don't know who's the best one to talk to
I'll
this.
take this one.
All right. Thank you, Andrea. What can we do if that is the issue? If I go and use one, I could get myself in a real jam.
I read about that in the paper recently, and I haven't heard that specifically in our county from any members in our county, but I would suggest that people have that conversation with their primary care providers and have that conversation with their clinic and see what their policies and practices are, because it might be that their clinic offers urgent care hours and maybe they're not aware of that. But important that people have that conversation with their providers and find out the policy and if they have urgent care access within their own clinic, because they probably do.
That was the first part of this extensive interview with the Ontario Health Team Northumberland. Up next, what is being done about doctor recruitment? Please stay tuned to consider this on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back.